Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for July 9th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm speaking with Kacheng Yi about a molecule that can inhibit the growth of aggressive glioblastoma. Glioblastoma is the most common form of aggressive brain cancer. It's derived from glial cells, which are not neurons, but cells that support and insulate neurons. Many glioblastomas contain mutations that cause overactivation of the epidermal growth factor receptor, or EGFR, which promotes cell growth. In addition to mutations that increase EGFR signaling, some of the most aggressive glioblastomas also have mutations in the gene that encodes P10, the phosphatase and tensin homolog, which is a tumor suppressor that inhibits cell proliferation. In a study published in the current issue of Science Signaling, a group led by Kacheng Yi reports on their discovery of a small molecule that blocks EGFR activation and inhibits the growth of glioblastoma cells, even when those cells also lack P10. Yi spoke to me from the Emory University School of Medicine in Atlanta. Hi, Dr. Yi. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Glioma is the most common form of brain tumor, and many gliomas have mutations that cause overactivation of the epidermal growth factor receptor and inactivation of the tumor suppressor P10. Both of these types of mutations promote the growth of the tumor cells. Are these mutations causative for glioma, or do they occur after the cells have already become cancerous and hypermutated?
That's a very good question. According to the recent studies by NCI, EGFR receptor and the P10 are highly mutated in glioblastoma, and they are indeed the causative for glioblastoma. We also call it GBM for short. And also those mutations are very common after the cancer cell develops.
Does the activity of the EGFR, the EGF receptor, or the amount of its overexpression correlate with mortality in glioblastoma patients?
Yes. Clinical statisticians demonstrate EGFR amplification and how much they are being overexpressed substantially contribute to the mortality of GBM patient.
In this paper, you investigate the mechanism by which a molecule called G5-7 blocks EGFR signaling and inhibits the growth of glioblastoma cells. How did you identify that compound? Did you discover it in a screen or did you design it?
We discovered this compound by screening because we invented cell proliferation screening assay by asking which compound from the chemical library can selectively block the most malignant glioblastoma cells with EGFR mutation and P10 inactivation. After screening a few thousand compounds, we successfully identified G5-7.
What happens to cultured glioblastoma cells when you treat them with that compound, with G5-7?
This compound can quickly arrest cell in G2 phase and also significantly block their proliferation and induce cell death.
So the cells stop dividing and then they die.
Yes, that's correct. And then they will quickly turn on the cell death program and go into apoptosis.
So that was in the cultured glioblastoma cells. How about in vivo? Does the compound also inhibit glioblastoma in an animal model?
Yes, actually, we have conducted two animal models. One is a subcutaneous model. One is an intracranial model. Intracranial model means we planted the tumor cell into the mouse brain, and then we administrated the drug orally, and we found orally this compound can be bioactive, can substantially decrease the brain tumor, and then significantly elongate the lifespan of the mice.
Does the tumor size shrink in those animals, or do the tumors just stop growing?
Yeah, it's a dramatically shrink. In some of the animal, the tumor is almost undetectable by fMRI.
What's the mechanism of action? How does G5-7 inhibit cell proliferation in those glioblastoma cells?
This compound is really amazing. It's very different from the traditional tyrosine kinase inhibitors. This compound, though we found it can allosterically block a kinase called JAK2 kinase, which often play a critical role in promoting many cancer proliferation. However, this compound is different from the conventional JAK2 tyrosine kinase inhibitor. Those usually block the ATP binding site, only block the tyrosine kinase activity. However, G5-7, we found through blocking JAK2, leading to EGFR kinase activity inhibition, and also leading to STAT3, which is the traditional downstream signaling of JAK2 inactivation. EGFR not only can be activated by itself, it also can be activated by JAK2 through phosphorylation. So our compound can block JAK2 phosphorylation of EGFR, leading to dual inhibition, not only block EGFR by JAK2 activation, and also can block the conventional JAK2 signaling through STAT3. So it can dually block these two pathways simultaneously by one compound.
So I know that a common problem with drugs that inhibit tumor cell growth is that the tumors develop resistance to the drugs. Does the fact that this compound inhibits two types of signaling from JAK2 help prevent the development of resistance in the tumor cells?
That's correct. Usually now, in clinical trial or in clinical practice, normally people start to use the combination concept so that they can simultaneously block multiple pathways a cancer cell use to promote cancer cell proliferation. So surprisingly, our compound can simultaneously block two pathways. That's why our compound is so unique compared to many other currently JAK2 tyrosine kinase inhibitor or EGFR inhibitor, because those inhibitors, the cancer cell has developed resistance to their therapy.
In your experiments in the mice, you said that you delivered G5-7 orally. Does that mean that this would be fairly easy to translate into human use?
Yes. A compound or a drug is orally available, give a patient a lot of advantage to use those drugs, because it will be very convenient for a patient to take this medicine at home. You do not have to go to the hospital to do the injection. And also, a lot of impressive point for this compound is the safety. So far, we have done extensive in vitro and in vivo toxicity assay. We found this compound is very safe, indicating the clinical hurdle will be modest down the road. We are not expecting much bumpy clinical trial in the future.
So apparently, G5-7 doesn't have many off-target effects. But how about additional on-target effects that could be side effects? Because, you know, JAK-STAT signaling is important in a lot of contexts in normal cell biology. Did you detect any potential side effects from using this drug, or can you predict what sorts of normal processes this drug could interfere with?
Mm-hmm. As you know, JAK2, STAT signaling play a critical role in a lot of our normal physiological process. So blocking this pathway could lead into some potential side effect. However, the reward compared to the risk, the ratio is much higher for the cancer patient. So I wouldn't expect too severe side effect down the road based on the mechanism-oriented potential toxicity.
The mortality associated with glioblastoma is so high that even if there are some side effects, it would be worth trying.
Yes, the benefit against the risk is so high. That's why this compound is favored by numerous pharmaceutical companies.
Have you made a move towards starting clinical trials, getting that ball rolling?
Now this compound actually recently just been licensed by a pharmaceutical company. And now they are doing the IND enabling studies. So in the near future, hopefully this compound will go into clinical trial very soon.
That's very good to hear. Thank you, Ke-Cheng. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you very much. It's really my pleasure.
That was Ke-Cheng Yi, senior author of a paper published in the July 9th issue of Science Signaling. That paper is by he and colleagues, and it's titled blockade of glioma proliferation through allosteric inhibition of JAK2. And that wraps up this Science Signaling podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.